My mother knew one thing. She knew that the athletes of Special Olympics have the same dedication, the same commitment, the same guts, and they deserve the same glory as any other athlete competing in this country or anywhere around the world.
WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Last July, I was watching the ESPY Awards. Our next guest accepted the Arthur Ashe Courage Award in honor of his late mother, Eunice Shriver. His speech inspired me so much that I want to do all I can to get the word out. The 50th anniversary of Special Olympics will be held here in Chicago, July 17th through the 21st at Soldier Field. Please welcome the chairman of Special Olympics. It is Tim Shriver. Tim, you are a rock star, man. How you doing?
Well, first of all, thank you. I've never been called a rock star before, so you're very kind, excessively kind, I might say, but I'm super excited about everything that's going to be happening in Chicago. Our movement, you know, 172 countries, 5.5 million athletes, just everybody just pulling for, excited about, eager to watch, participate, listen, read about, see pictures of, see Instagrams and tweets and everything from Chicago in just a few short days. It's terrific.
Well, your speech at the ESPYs, and it's your message, and if you I follow you on Twitter, it's all about inclusion, which was always your mother's message, and you have the inclusion revolution because everyone's included.
Yeah, I mean, that's the future of our movement is to show and, I think, showcase that the athletes of Special Olympics aren't a cause or a charity. They're, in effect, really teachers. They're role models of the most important lesson in the world today. That's the way we see it. We think the most important issue to teach our children, to model in our communities, and to learn to do, even in our politics, I heard Roger before, the most important lesson is to learn how to bridge gaps, to come to a deeper understanding of one another, even when we're separated by ideas or points of view or backgrounds or religions or experiences, we can still find common ground. And if you're looking to find common ground and heal some fear and overcome that and lead from the heart, the athletes of Special Olympics are the ones to teach those lessons, not the ones to learn them from, so to speak, the rest of us.
Well, tell me what's happening here at Soldier Field July 17th through the 21st.
So we've got I think it's an incredible lineup. We've got, first of all, the first ever unified World Cup. We've got soccer teams coming from around the world, 24 teams. They're all going to have athletes who you would think of as Special Olympics athletes, but also athletes who will not have disabilities. So that's why we call it unified soccer or unified football. This is our first ever event. That'll kick off on the 17th. We have a torch run that, in fact, we're going to light the torch from Hyannisport, Massachusetts, where my Aunt Rosemary, my mom's sister, and President Kennedy and Senator Kennedy's sister, who had an intellectual disability, where she learned to play sports for the first time. We're going to light the flame here, and it's going to arrive in Chicago and feature hundreds of law enforcement officers from around the country. We're going to have light an eternal flame right there at Soldier Field, which will burn in perpetuity in commemoration of the pioneers of 1968, but also in tribute to everybody who steps out of their front door whenever Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week and decides to be a part of the inclusion revolution and chooses right to include. And then we got a great global day of inclusion and a killer concert on July 21st with Chance the Rapper producing and Usher and Smokey Robinson and Jason Mraz mm-hmm. and Francis and the Lights and OAR and Daya. And I mean, and there are even more, which we haven't announced yet, which are huge acts. And I think they're coming, you know, yeah, it's going to be a great musical night, but I think the country's hungry to come together.
I agree.
Hungry for an inclusion message.
Yep.
And the country's hungry to get out of talking about politics all the time. And let's start talking about, you know, my guess is most Americans agree on about 80% of the things in their lives. And yet everything we hear about is the 5 or 10 or 15% of the things we don't necessarily all agree on.
Right.
This will be a celebration of what we do agree on. I think we agree on human dignity. We agree on the power of inclusion. We agree that everybody deserves a chance. We agree that everybody has a gift. Those are the, I think, core tenets of the inclusion revolution, and why we want people to join the revolution, come to jointherevolution.org and go to SpecialOlympics50.org and pledge. You know, whether you're 6 years old or 96 years old, whether you're a teacher or a doctor or a coach, there's a role for you in the Special Olympics movement of the next half century. We want you. We need you. And we've got a lot to offer.
Everybody's included. We're talking to Tim Shriver, the chairman of Special Olympics. Now, it started 50 years ago in 1968, but this really started with your mother back in 1962 at a camp at your house. Is that right?
That really, you know, my mother was, for her time, you know, growing up in the 30s and 40s, felt, I think, sometimes the sting of being overlooked as a woman. And what did she do? She fought back. She felt the sting of being told that she couldn't be an athlete, and she decided to compete. She felt people in some ways mocking her own sister, who she loved deeply, and she decided to fight. So in 1962, when she spoke to a few mothers in Washington, she just moved to Washington because of the election of her brother as president. She spoke to a few mothers who had children with special needs and said there was nothing for them to do. No camp would take their children. And so she said, you bring your children to my house. I have a pool. We have a field. We'll have a camp right here.
That's awesome.
And, she went down to the local Catholic high school and said to the students, would you volunteer? And she got a handful of volunteers, and there we started. The swimming races in our backyard, kickball games, pony rides. She called it Camp Shriver, but it was a revolution even then. Kids of color coming to swim in a swimming pool of a white family. I mean, these were things we take for granted now, but they weren't normal in 1962.
No.
Not to mention children with intellectual disabilities who were, for the most part, in institutions. So she was the kind of person who you knew there was a different future out there, and even though not many others could see it, she saw it. And I think she's a great reminder to all of us, men and women, people of all races and colors. That's an American tribute. I mean, it's an American attribute, I should say, to be able to see something that doesn't yet exist and pursue it with all your heart and passion, believe in it.
Right.
Ask others to join you. You don't need money necessarily to make a change in the world. Sometimes you just need your own good, open heart and a willingness to try, and she brought all of her gifts to bear, her whole life, on behalf of people with intellectual disabilities, and I think she launched a revolution, and it is our aim, it is our firm commitment to continue it into the next half century.
Well, you've said that Eunice Shriver, your mother, was a go-getter. She graduated from Stanford in 1943 when women weren't really going to college. And she was a tough lady. Was she a tough mother?
She was a determined mother. She challenged us, you know. Good was never enough. She was pushing for great. Could you do better? Yes, you won the race, but was it your best time? Okay, you did all right on the test, but did you try your best? I bet you could do better. I bet. Why don't we get that thing you wrote and get it published in your school newspaper? Have you tried that? You know, she wanted to push people, her children. And I think, you know, you look at my brothers, you know, one brother Anthony, the founder of Best Buddies, when he was only 20 years old. It's now a global movement. My brother Mark, leading the children, Save the Children's, founded his own organization to be an advocate for children in policy. My sister Maria, the most well-known of all of us, you know, dozens of books, New York Times bestsellers, Peabody Award-winning journalist. My brother Bobby, you know, probably one of the greatest producers of charity music. He raised over $100 million to help Special Olympics grow around the world with Bono and Madonna and Bruce Springsteen and Stevie Wonder and the like. So I think we've all got the message that you should give it your all and, you know, try big things. We've all failed, all of us, all five of her children have failed, like everybody does when you try hard at big things, but she inspired us to believe that we should try. And I think, again, I think it's a message for our country right now, right? Where just everybody's so discouraged.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, I've just come from Seattle with 3,000 Special Olympics athletes, and everybody's so joyful and so kind and gentle with one another and so appreciative of the kindness and support of others and so grateful to one another. I mean, even competitors congratulating each other, the one who won, the one who didn't win, bear hugs. I mean, this is also America, and I hope that when we come to Chicago for this celebration, the city and indeed the country will see, this really can be a nation of inclusion. This is a nation that believes in the gifts and dignity of every single human being, every single citizen. That you can love America, but you can also love Americans.
Right.
And I think this is kind of the moment for the heart of America to beat a little bit stronger and a little bit with a little more pride, and that's what we're hoping Chicago will help us do.
I can't wait for it. I mean, it's going to be one big party here in Chicago, but I got to ask you, you brought up your brother Bobby Shriver.
We
have a mutual friend here in Chicago, Pat Gallagher, and I met Bobby for the first time when he came to town for the U2 concert because he and Bono started the Red Foundation, and... Right. I got to ask you about Bobby's hat. He wears a Crocodile Dundee type hat, and I've watched your speech over and over on YouTube for the ESPY Awards, and he wore it that night too. They flashed him really quick.
If you figure out why he wears that hat, please don't just put it on the air, but call me directly or send me a link to the answer. No one knows where that hat came from. It's only been around a couple of years, but it never. I don't know if he sleeps with it because I haven't checked. But he's decided that hat is part of his act, and it's a firm fixture.
That's like, his deal.
Like it or not, my brother Bobby wears a black Crocodile Dundee hat all the time. But he's done amazing. I mean, Bobby has done amazing work, I guess maybe the last thing I just want to make sure people know: all these events are open to the public. You know, the concert's ticketed,
yes.
But the Day of Inclusion, bring your children. For an hour, come down to Soldier Field. You'll meet Cubs and White Sox and other professional athletes, but you'll meet athletes of Special Olympics. Kick a soccer ball, shoot some baskets, throw a bocce ball, play volleyball for 5 or 10 minutes. I promise any Chicagoan who comes to the Day of Inclusion or who comes down to watch the Eternal Flame being lit that they will leave more motivated and inspired than when they arrived. And if you're trying to teach your kids, if you've got children, the most important lessons in life, that every life counts, that you can be a part of something bigger, that you have a purpose larger than yourself, that with empathy and grit and perseverance and service, you can make a difference in the world. If you want to teach those lessons to your children, and I think almost everybody does, the teachers are going to be there over this weekend in Chicago. The teachers will be present and ready to teach. The athletes of Special Olympics will be teaching class, teaching purpose, teaching compassion, teaching empathy, teaching grit, teaching the heart of America.
And I do want to give a shout-out to the people here in Chicago at Special Olympics, Maura Daly, Chris Winston, Skinny Sheehan, Marilyn Gardner, and everybody else. They've worked so hard to put together this party along with you, July 17th through the 21st at Soldier Field, 50th anniversary of Special Olympics. Tim, when you come to town, you got to come up in the studio, man. We got to do this again in person.
I'd love to. I'd love to, and I'd love to bring some athletes, and I'd love to bring Kevin Magnuson and Jenny Fortner, who have worked relentlessly on this. I'd love to bring Terry Duffy, who was one of our first and most generous donors. I'd love to bring the flight attendants and ramp workers from United Airlines who are killing it for all of this, you know, just giving everything and putting it on the air. And I'd love to bring the folks from Toyota. I mean, you know, this is an amazing moment. And, you know, last summer we were all glued to our televisions at Charlottesville and thinking, my God, what's happened to our nation? This summer I hope people will be glued to their televisions and see, look at our nation. Mine, I can be proud to be an American.
Tim Shriver, Chairman of Special Olympics. Tim, great to talk to you. We'll see you when you come to town.
Thanks very much.
Thanks to everybody
in Chicago, really. It's we can't wait.
We're looking forward to it. Tim Shriver, everybody.